continuous service. And her talking about his attention to the details reminds me of his, I believe it was one of Prabhupada's disappearance days, he told a story about the samadhi. Because you see in the samadhi, inside the samadhi, there's a very, very elaborate, beautiful ceiling. It was very difficult to construct and very difficult to put together. And he had all the workers there working on it, and there was scaffolding everywhere. The whole samadhi building was just filled with scaffolding while they were making that very elaborate ceiling. So after they got it up, he came to inspect it. The workers called him and said, "It's up." He looked at everything and he gave instruction in Hindi, "Nikaldo," meaning take out all of the scaffolding. But the workers, they understood, take the whole thing down. So they took, he came back and the entire ceiling was taken down. So next I'd like to ask His Grace Gopal Prabhu to give his Shradanjali at the lotus feet of Survi Prabhu. That's right, whatever you can say.
Namo Vishnu Madhaya Krishna Mastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paskatina Sadhanavi. Unlike almost every other devotee who will be speaking today, I had the misfortune of not having Surabhi Prabhu's association until 2013, when he came here in preparation for the 40th anniversary. At that time, while construction was going on, we had more than one project being developed, and he was here on the west side of India and I was on the east side of India working on the Mayapur project. But the amazing thing to remember and to note is that from the very onset of Srila Prabhupada's efforts to carry out the wishes of his spiritual master, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the Supreme Lord himself, Lord Chaitanya, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Whenever there was a necessity, Krishna would always intervene and provide Srila Prabhupada with someone or facilities to help him become successful. It's like when in 1970, when we first arrived in India, almost immediately this young American boy and his wife, who were photographers making a documentary on India, hooked up with us and traveled to all of the locations that we had visited. And now today, because of Yadubara, there are documented records of all of Srila Prabhupada's activities at that time. And even still today, he is documenting the histories. And This was also true when we came, we had nothing, and by Krishna's grace and the determination of Srila Prabhupada to fulfill his Guru Maharaj's mission, things began to manifest themselves. This land here in Vrindavan was donated. Negotiations were made in Hyderabad. We had land donated there, and in Juhu also. And now that this land was available for these beautiful temples to be constructed, there needed to be a very intelligent and qualified individual who had a vision and the determination to satisfy. So who did Krishna send? He sent Sarabhi Prabhu. And being part of ISKCON for so many years, and seeing its growth and the expansion, it's a wonderful experience, but there's a sadness also that we have so many brothers and sisters that have exemplified their love for Srila Prabhupada by working so hard. But unfortunately, due to logistics, we don't get a chance to see them or to meet them. Living here in Vrindavan affords us a little more of an opportunity. Unfortunately, those devotees come here to leave their bodies, and we can only enjoy their association as they leave this material world and go back into the arms of Srila Prabhupada. So again, I'm very sorry that I didn't have more opportunity, but his accomplishments will remain for thousands of years. And as he built, this was Prabhupada's home. Just as Dinabandhu Prabhu has says that Mr. Sethi has a room built by Prabhupada. So there is an illustrious, gorgeous palace now for Sarabhi Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Sri Prabhu ki. So we'd like to thank Gopal for sharing his whatever few memories he had of Sarabhi Prabhu, and how Prabhupada, Krishna sent so many wonderful people to help Prabhupada, and Sarabhi was one of those amazing people. So next I'd like to ask Aika Mataji to make her offering. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, my brother and sister of Krishna Conscious. In March, well, we'll start from where on my birthday, Surabhi Prabhu broke the news when he had to be admitted to the hospital. And he passed some will immediately. And of course, I burst into tears. And when he finished, then I tried to encourage him, because I'm always looking at things with positive eyes in my life. I said, "What about living? At least that's what we have to do. I mean, before the decision really falls onto us." So I researched through internet, talking with friends, people who have suffered through cancer stage 4, everything I think I have gone through and tried. But then another thing is, I know the person has to be happy. Going through his life, I know that it would make him happy to see his god brothers, his god sisters, to visit the temple that he had built. So I suggested that I would be a nurse, although I didn't have any background nursing. So I immediately put my place as a caregiver, and I accompanied him here to Vrindavan on the 40th anniversary. Maybe that is also the path Sri Krishna is guiding, and Srila Prabhupada was guiding me to be Krishna conscious by introducing me to Krishna Balaram, so here in Vrindavan. And my eyes opened and I started to practice, and going back to Hong Kong while we are waiting in the hospital to see Jayashree doctor. I look at the invitation. There's an invitation from Los Angeles. I said, "Do you have any god brothers and god sisters there in the temple?" He said, "Yes." So we went. Immediately, we left for LA, and he met all his past, all god brothers who are about above 60 years old, 60, 65. So he really became alive. So that was another part that actually I hope could help him. And then coming, actually we were not supposed to come to Vrindavan until the 7th of August, because we have to sign quite a lot of papers. I have lost the energy to even the appetite to continue fashion designing or any creative work. So I plan to close my company. It will take a while, around September, October, to totally close it. So we had to sign a lot of papers with the notaries. But I knew when I look at him, there's no way he could even last to 7th of August. So I went to another lawyer, set it up, and we got authorization letter. I immediately bought the ticket and get him here. It's amazingly, when he reached here, he was like, he came alive. And it's almost like he wanted to continue in the service of Krishna. And he went around, on the wheelchair. He ate well. I mean, in fact, he started to tell what he would like to eat, I mean, for the prasadam. And I wheeled him in the morning. In the afternoon, in the evening, he went to Advaita guest house and said, "Well, if the person is not taking this by October, I want to come here and I want to buy this." And he asked his sister to even send the money to put in the bank so that he can derive and live without any other support, but through the bank deposit and the interest. But I guess Krishna has a different way. It's almost like, stop it, this is not anymore. You can't keep on, you know, hoping, and this is your time. And it's amazing because that night we had a talk, a very wonderful talk, about his ash, what he wanted to do, and how he wanted me to carry on. And that night he just started the process. And by 2:30 again he woke up, but from that time he started to just lost his consciousness for 24 hours, and we stood by watch. The next day morning, 1 o'clock, his breathing was very deep and fast. 2 o'clock, it was starting to slow down. By 2:30, we were all on lovingly, we were massaging him throughout, hands, legs, feet, giving him water, wetting his lips. But by 2:30, he is starting to slow down, and 2:45, about 2:40, then Devi Sakti Mataji looked at his fingers and said, another 10 minutes. I don't know how she ever knew. It's almost like the instinct. So the chant of Srila Prabhupada started, and we were all just very focused in chanting. Throughout the time, he did not have any pain. And to the end of, actually, 2 hours 48, his shoulder sort of moved a little bit forward. And then there was silence. And according to my god sisters and brother, they said it was the most beautiful passing, and I have never seen death in my life, and this is the first time. And I felt the whole thing was beautiful, and Sri Krishna has planned it that way, and that he is no longer having to think about buying, investing, but is now like much more of how to carry out his will for the Bhaktivedanta archives and for Gunarnava Prabhu to help me to pass on his will, which projects would be important. And also I will be working and be guided by Mataji, Devi Sakti Mataji, who has been very kind and supportive for my being here, Dharmatma Prabhu, and I couldn't thank you all enough for the assistance. Hare Krishna.
Suri Prabhu Kagi! So we'd like to thank Aika Mataji for some very intimate insights into Surabhi's life that we would never have known. Next, we have an offering from Subhag Swami Maharaj. So I'll read that. I am now in Bangladesh, surrounded by lush green trees. I just finished prasad this morning. It was relaxing. When Sanlayo is informed by Madhavendu Das of ISKCON Vrindavan, the news, I was shocked to hear that Prabhupada's beloved is here, not here anymore. I used to see him time to time when traveling around. I have deep affection for him because he rendered a tremendous amount of service to Srila Prabhupada. In two of Srila Prabhupada's most ambitious projects, ISKCON Vrindavan and Juhu, he played a key role as architect and leading manager, as well as recently in our temple in Punjabi Bagh, as well as Siliguri, Acha, Ahmedabad, I have also been told. One day we were in Mayapur many years back desiring to have his association. I requested him to have a glass of fruit juice with me. During our conversation we spoke about several things. I conveyed my feelings of appreciation how he helped in establishing a wonderful temple, Punjabi Bagh. Out of his humility he replied, Yes, yes, but a very small temple though. I told him that doesn't matter. He helps maintain it and guides the devotees there through expert medium of his great Sambhadas, thus doing a great service. I respect his numerous business, and he was very expert in being able to earn money for the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness through all available means. I wish I could have had more of his association. He performed abundant service to Srila Prabhupada. Our society and devotees in general, selfless service. He dedicated his own life to serve the pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada, for the cause of Krishna consciousness. His life is exemplary, being dedicated to spread Krishna consciousness. He will stand as an inspiration for devotees all over the world for generations to come and set an example how to dedicate their lives for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. Just assisting in building our Juhu temple is itself magnificent preaching. Distinguished VIPs visit regularly. Once this person was President Clinton's sister. She came many years back incognito to India, especially Bombay, and stayed for some time in the temple. She was inquisitive why so many young American boys and girls join her ISKCON society. So she decided to have a personal experience of temple life. Then I heard that His Grace Tulsiyan Prabhu gave him the responsibility to help in the construction of the Astasakis at ISKCON Mayapur. Prabhupada gave him a short time in which to finish the construction of both Juhu and Vrindavan temples, and Prabhupada was seemingly angry when reports were not up to the required standard. We understand, however, that was chastisement of the spiritual master is actually a blessing, and by this we can make advancement. To conclude, Prabhupada glorified the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan as the most beautiful temple in Vrindavan. Wonderful deities, a wonderful guest house, a wonderful Gurukul. Surabhi Prabhu played a great role in helping to establish it. So accordingly, the Lord will also give him the proper reward. So we feel a great loss, but at the same time we rejoice, and he must be getting the blessings of Prabhupada going home back to Godhead. By the arrangement of Krishna and also of Providence, he returned to Vrindavan to leave his body. Living in Vrindavan and dying in Vrindavan will entail the same result, and therefore he will be eternally in the spiritual world. His Grace Surabhi Prabhu Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It's a very wonderful offering by Srila Subhag Swami. So next I'd like to ask Kusha Devi Dasi to make her offering at the lotus feet of Surabhi Prabhu.
What about Sura? He worked with him.
Who?
Sura.
Surdas, all right. Okay.
Yes.
I'm just trying to be one man, one woman. Anyway, if you want to have two men, then no problem. All right, Surdas can make his offering.
Om Agyanatamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmalitam Yenai Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Speaking about a great stalwart who just became instrument in the hands of his spiritual master is not an ordinary thing. Especially when you are destined to play a role in magnifying the vision of a spiritual master, it's a special blessing. It cannot be just understood in a gathering of whatever we are here. Because these are all beyond our tiny concept of glorifications, because we have to understand that how when spiritual master who comes from the spiritual world and he has to accomplish the mission of the Lord, and what type of the personalities he's going to bring along with him to accomplish the task, I consider Surab Prabhu one of the diamonds in the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. Because those painters, those singers, those architects who have unfolded the vision of Srila Prabhupada, they will be eternally glorious in the history of ISKCON as well as the spiritual. Myself, I am just an insignificant person who just came into ISKCON Juhu, Bombay, when I was just a small boy, infatuated and influenced by the Bollywood. So I graduated as a filmmaker, but I was attached to the glorious temple, Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari Temple, in 1978. It was just 9 months away from the opening of the temple. At the time, this personality, Surab Prabhu, who was the architect, pillar of this whole grandeur, which became the talk of the whole India. And seeing his personality, seeing his tall personality, red Dutch face, effulgent like a bright sun, I was always very much influenced by his personality. Because he created a wonderful oasis within the Bombay, which millions of people come and see, and millions of people get inspired to study the architecture of the temple. There are many architectural schools there, and we had every year groups of young boys and girls coming to study this whole architectural piece. It is in their academical, you know, visit, they have to study this temple. And as Mataji said earlier, that, you know, I started myself as a very humble managing this restaurant. That was way back in 1981. I just put off my all glaring life of Bollywood, and with the mercy of, you know, Vaishnavas, I was engaged in managing the restaurant there. So while I was managing, Surab Prabhu will always come and eat in the same restaurant which he had designed. And it was his beautiful round table under the chandelier. He would always enjoy to eat what was prepared there in the restaurant. And he would say that, I love to sit in this round table here and especially enjoying the cuisines. Because then also Govindas was very much attracted, and people used to come, thousands of people used to come, and now also thousands of people are in the waiting list on Sundays. They just see. And as young devotees who have come into ISKCON, we always wanted to do something, like we like to, you know, do something to please Prabhupada, please Vaishnavas. You know, all the temples. Now we see that we have almost about 100 temples in India. Most of these temples have been inspired by Juhu Temple. All the people who have to make construct a temple, they would like to see how this temple is. You see? Each and every dimension of its you know, architectural is studied by even the devotees also, who have little taste of these things. Everybody doesn't have. Somebody would like to eat prasadam, somebody would like to worship the deities. It's an absolute thing. But there are very, very blessed souls who are artists, painters, architects. They have a special eye. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying or not, because they see things in a different way. My father was a painter, world famous painter, and he trained me to see things in a different way. And the same qualities, when I saw Surab Prabhu, he could see something what we could not see. This is an eye which is given by Krishna himself. And when that quality goes in the hands of a spiritual master, he knows what I want him to do through this disciple. So that's what the younger generations, they have to understand how to become instrument in the hands of a spiritual master. Otherwise, all your happenings or doings will be of no use till you become the instrument in the hands of spiritual master. Like I am busy at this moment making a very big temple in New Bombay, I can understand how much pains and pleasures Srila Prabhupada must have gone along making Juhu temple, and how he must have directed these. You see, now we breathe from morning till evening, we breathe what has to go there, what has to go there, what has to go there, and how Srila Prabhupada has created these temples. It's amazing, it's amazing. Swaram Prabhu's work speaks itself that he was not an ordinary person. Because there are so many architects. Premnath, who is now the architect working with me for my, you know, Navi Mumbai project, he explains that Saurabh, when he used to sketch, his pencil used to go in a different flow altogether, as if he was just creating those visions, as if it was already stamped in his consciousness and they were coming alive on the paper. And because he got trained himself so much from Swarabh Prabhu, and now he is the famous artist in architect in the whole world, the third or fourth architect in the world, and that's because he was trained by Swarabh Prabhu. And like this, you know, devotees, they don't have the taste for all these things. They may try to come and study books, chant, but I will also request the newer generations to learn from such people that how to create wonderful oases by the vision of Srila Prabhupada. If that legacy continues, it will be a great thing. You know, like Swarabh Prabhu, he was a very, very humble soul. Whatever he did, he was not egoistic about all his achievements. He was not. We try to make a garland, we feel, oh, see what I have done. But here he has left behind the legacy of so many temples which are visited by millions and millions and millions of people. Why wouldn't be he apple of Srila Prabhupada's eye? And why wouldn't he become the apple of Krishna? Even if physically he was not up to the grandeur, but he has lived in the heart of Srila Prabhupada, he is living in the hands of Krishna, and he is there in his abode. So this is what is achievements. These are the achievements in the hands of spiritual master. I can go on speaking, but I can only pray to him that Swarabh Prabhu, please give me strength to accomplish another landmark in New Bombay, which is going to be unfolded by 2016. I would have loved to have him all the time, every moment, telling me what has to be done. But in your separation, in his, I'm always with his thoughts, because I'm every time I shuttle between Juhu and New Bombay. What has been done in a kitchen there, how can I enhance in New Bombay? What has been done in the rooms, I can enhance it in New Bombay. So it's a study course for me, for going to Juhu, coming back, going to Juhu, coming back, and like that. As Mataji said that, you know, I have been there almost about 34 years, breathing oases of Srila Prabhupada from morning till evening. Of course, they have come, built, and left the legacy to us to appreciate, and millions to appreciate. But to me, I would always like to pray to Prabhupada and Swarabh Prabhu, please bless me so that we can also create a wonderful landmark. But younger generations, please study these temples. They are not ordinary temples. Just by watching them, you will get an inspiration to serve Prabhupada. By just watching these temples, as we have seen, millions of people come from all over the world. They keep on studying these architectural marvels done by Swarabh Prabhu. So this is actually doing something for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. On this day, I just wanted to humbly beg all the Vaishnavas, please bless me, and so that we can also create a wonderful landmark in New Bombay, where you can also come and participate in wonderful pastimes of such great souls. We are going to be also creating a memorial there for Srila Prabhupada. I am folding it now in front of Radha, Shyamasundar, Krishna Balaram, Gaur Nithai. I had not spoken to this to anybody so far. There will be the legacy of Srila Prabhupada will live in Prabhupada quarters at New Bombay, with each and every diamond studded on the walls with their contributions and biographies on Prabhupada quarters beside Srila Prabhupada. Sura Prabhu ki
jai.
Thank you very much.
So we'd like to thank His Grace Suradas for some very deep insights into Surabhi Prabhu, and especially we all know Bombay is so many millions of people have come there for taking darshan, that coming to the oasis, he said. Surabhi made it an oasis in the middle of this Bombay. And I recommend at least once in your lifetime you must see the Jamasme. I also left Vrindavan and went to Bombay. That year 800,000 people came. I'm sure now it's well over a million. How many people come? Jamashtami. I recommend once in your lifetime you see Jamashtami in Juhu. It's an amazing event. But he gave a new insight. We never knew that all the architectural schools are sending their students there to see this place. This was a new insight. We are very thankful to Suradas for revealing this jewel to us. So next I'd like to invite Kusamataji to make her offering at the lotus feet of Surabhi.
The prayer, the Vanchakalpa prayer, I'm saying for Surabhi. We all mispronounced everything in the early days, so it's hard to relearn. I first came to Krishna Balaram Temple in 1976, so it was built. And his fame was far and wide. We had all heard how he had made this beautiful structure. We had all heard that Srila Prabhupada said, everyone is praising Sarab. Everyone is praising Sarab, but I am chastising him daily. And so if any of you have had intimate association with the spiritual master, I'm not sure there's very many people who aspire to be chastised by the guru. But Sarab took it as mercy. We're all taught that it's mercy. Theoretically, we understand this is mercy of spiritual master, but in actuality, it's dreaded. A dreaded to be chastised by the guru. We're all looking to please spiritual master. But Sarab was the person who fully understood and daily appreciated that the pleasure of the spiritual master comes in the form of chastisement. That if you have any relationships in this world, intimate relations with family, they tell you on your face because they have that intimate relationship. They tell you what's on their mind, if they're displeased, if they're pleased. If you don't have an intimate relationship, everyone is very cordial, very cordial. But Sarab had this kind of very intimate relationship with Srila Prabhupada. We can't underestimate the greatness of this relationship that Srila Prabhupada could see. He can take so much. I can give him exactly what I need from him. I can tell him every detail of my desire, and Sarab will take that. Many of us just needed to be pampered with the attaboys, like, good job, but not Sarab. So Srila Prabhupada said, I have built a house that the whole world can live in. And Surabhi has been the person who has built so many of these places that millions and millions of people in the world can come to find the shelter of the deities, the shelter of Guru and Gauranga. Surabhi has been an instrument in Srila Prabhupada's hands, and Srila Prabhupada, he admitted himself that he was very demanding, very demanding. He admitted that. And to Sarab, he was very demanding. And because of that intimate relationship, we are enjoying the fruits of that relationship now, today, in temple after temple after temple. So we owe a debt of gratitude to Sarab. He lived a life of service. I've been reading on Facebook so many times that devotees are saying, he gave me shelter, he was kind to me, he was like my father. Over and over again, I'm seeing the same story, that even though he was a great man, even though he had position and responsibility, he was still also humble. Humble from Guru and humble to the devotees, both. Not just, I'm a big man and therefore roll out the red carpet. No, not that at all. Even he just came a year back with Gunarnava, and we were trying to get him to speak publicly. He wouldn't. He was saying, no, I have no qualification. And we know differently. He got the mercy of Prabhupada, the most intense mercy. I've had the good fortune of being very close to Govindadasi and Shrutakirti and hearing so many pastimes of Prabhupada. And the one thing that I can understand is that when Prabhupada chastises you, you never, ever forget it. And that chastisement over years, in the beginning it may feel one way, but over years, because you never forget it, it becomes bittersweet nectar. It's like a treasure. It's a jewel. It's seared into your soul. And Sarab is diamond studded. He is completely, he is the temple. He is the Chintamani Dham that Prabhupada is creating for all of us. And I thank him so much. Hare Krishna.
So we'd like to thank Kusumataji again taking up this same theme of how Prabhupada chastised him, but she made a very nice point. We only reveal our minds to people that we love. So we can just imagine, because it was amazing for me, again, I could say that when he spoke up, because everybody else spoke about, well, they were so frightened. And Gurudha spoke about it, Jamuna spoke about it, Dharanam spoke about it. But when he spoke about it, he was relishing all of that chastisement from Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada was taking personal interest in his spiritual life. So we keep mentioning Gunarnava, so he's unable to be here, but we have a letter from him and his good wife, so I'll read those two offerings. Our transcendental journey together began over 40 years ago in Vrindavan, not knowing what lay ahead. We were spiritual babies awaiting for our fate. Our common denominator was unflinching faith in the words and instructions of our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Although very different in mind and bodily appearances, we became the perfect double act. Our personalities were unbelievably compatible. Both senses of humors were undeniable, rich and full of flavor. Nothing could separate us from becoming the instruments to assist Srila Prabhupada, fulfilling his long and most cherished desire to please and satisfy what was asked of him by his Guru Maharaj Srila Bhakti Sanand Saraswati. I am now able to join the dots and so be unbelievably grateful to Srila Prabhupada for allowing me to assist you in the building of Krishna Balaram's home. I am so pleased after all our communications you returned to Vrindavan to leave and become reassociated with Srila Prabhupada. I will never forget the wonderful times serving with you in Srila Prabhupada's transcendental Leela. All glories to you, Sirvi. All glories to your transcendental service to Srila Prabhupada. Your servant always, Gunarnava Das. And from Gunarnava's wife, Vishalini, we have, Dear Sirvi Prabhu, on our last conversation you phoned while I sat in a hospital bed. The humility of your words stunned me. You said you couldn't rely on previous service rendered. You sounded feverish, voicing to do more service for Srila Prabhupada in this life. During the conversation, you explored ideas of what to do more. You also asked if four of us could meet in Vrindavan for Kartik. Inside, I felt a welling, then little or no control of what came out. How many times did Prabhupada repeat, You have your plans, I have mine, and Krishna has his? What's plan B, Sirvi? You insisted. I need to do more service. I replied, It is impossible for anyone to control time. But what better service could there be than showing the example of leaving this world with dignity focused on Srila Prabhupada, especially in our real home, Vrindavan? I am indebted to Aika, Devi Shakti, Dharmatma, and all the selfless Vaishnava devotees that pulled together to make this possible. The devotees are Kalpavriksha trees, fulfilling desires of the devoted. Thank you for the example you have shown that is engraved in my heart forever, Sirvi. We look forward to eternal service to Srila Prabhupada by your side. Your insignificant god sister, Vishalini Devi Dasi. Very nice. So next I'd like to ask Bhumipati Prabhu. Also when I joined here in Vrindavan Temple, Bhumipati was already before me, so he had a little more association with Sirvi than myself. Yeah, no. Get there.
Panchakalpatarubhasya kripasindhu bhaivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Before I start my own speech, whatever I had association with Sirvi Prabhu, I would like to read two homages sent to me by two of Sirvi Prabhu's very close devotees, friends. Eknath Prabhu from Bhaktivedanta Archives. He is the president of Bhaktivedanta Archives because I also work for Bhaktivedanta Archives. I am translating Srila Prabhupada's Hindi lectures into English and he preserves them in Bhaktivedanta Vedabase in the archives. So I would first like to read his... This is... Eulogy is from Eknath Das. this short eulogy is from Eknath Das, the Juhu temple construction treasurer. He was also Surabhi's cashier, who worked with Surabhi for about 3.5 years. Eknath and Surabhi had a special personal relationship, being both from Holland and had known each other since 1971. Srabananda Prabhu and I talked with Surabhi on the phone last week, just before he was called by Srila Prabhupada to come to Vrindavan. His voice sounded weak, but his spirits were very high. We were able to exchange our last goodbyes and expressing our heartfelt gratitude for his association and all the incredible services he rendered to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami and Lord Chaitanya's mission. Also, the jaw-dropping fortune he received in the form of highly sought-after advance death notice. In another such conversation several weeks ago, he expressed delight in desiring to design the future Srila Prabhupada's library, archives, museum to be built in the United States. I want to thank all the distinguished devotees present here for caring so nicely for Surabhir in his final days and hours. A special mention goes to Aika Mataji, who selflessly cared for Surabhir for many months. All glories to you, Mataji. May Lord Krishna bless you profusely. Surabhir's last post on his Facebook page was, quote, "My sweet Lord, I really want to see you," unquote, with an added link to "My Sweet Lord" concert for George Harrison. We are all confident that Surabhi has taken up residency with his sweet Lord by the supreme mercy of his dear Gurudev Srila Prabhupada. Surabhi can be confidently classified as an empowered disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, similar to Madhudvisha, Yamuna Mataji, Shamsundar, etc., etc. Srila Prabhupada had, especially in the early days, a small army of committed disciples who helped him establish a solid Krishna conscious foothold, mainly in the Western world. Saurabh, his first name was Saurabh, Srila Prabhupada gave, or Zoro, as he astonishingly thought he was named at his initiation, was the original name given by Srila Prabhupada. Surabhiro Bhipalayantam Swami was his sannyas name given in 1977 at the last of such ceremonies held by Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur. Surabhi took birth in a pious family. His other two brothers, Hari Krishna Das and Jagadev Das, are also initiated devotees. It is quite evident that Surabhi was extremely qualified to take on these seemingly impossible tasks ordered by Srila Prabhupada to design and build the first ISKCON temples in India. The pressure was immense. India was austere and hot. I often wondered when he would have a mental breakdown, but he never did. He was in fact very fixed on carrying out the orders of Srila Prabhupada. He was an extremely sharp and creative professional in his own right, dedicating all his abilities 100% in the service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the 1984 Vyasa Puja book, Surabhiro Bipalayantam wrote an offering under the heading Ministry of Architecture, which speaks loud and clear his spiritual position and attitude. This is a quote from Surabhi's a portion of Surabhi Prabhu's homage. Dear Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in the Sixth Ashtaka that the holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living beings. But without the Bhakti Lata Beej offered by the all-merciful spiritual master, the actual connection between the conditioned jiva and Bhagavan Sri Krishna is never established. Therefore, Guru is the paramount factor in attaining the paragati, prema bhakti. Srila Prabhupada, there is no higher principle than yourself. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 9:27, "O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering to me." And again in the Gita, Sri Krishna explains, 3:15, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in the acts of sacrifice, but no act of devotional service will be accepted by Lord Krishna without your approval. In fact, all acts of sacrifice, jagyartha karma, must be offered for your pleasure. The fact that we can offer you anything is another aspect of your mercy. As Sri Krishna's perfect servant, you are complete, Atmaram, and personally in need of nothing, yet you engage us. As the empowered Acharya, you command. You created ISKCON, and by your grace, our lives took on definition. Srila Prabhupada, you alone give meaning to our actions. Srila Prabhupada, as you yourself have stated, when you wash the floor, actually it is I who am washing and you are helping me. Or as you also gave the example regarding BTG magazine, actually it is I who have written all the articles. Let us try to understand your position and then automatically we will know our own. Without following your order, we immediately become the estranged puppets of Maya. Srila Prabhupada, let us never think we have any position independent of you. As for our fallen selves, we can only wonder at our supreme fortune. Indeed, the spiritual master's benediction is achinta, as it has no cause and its benefit is immeasurable. We can only wish that our service will please you. Srila Prabhupada, your association is our only measure of success. Your servants in the Ministry of Architecture. This was a portion from his homage. And Eknath Prabhu ends, we will miss you, Suravir, like our very dear old brother, Hare Krishna, servant of the Vaishnavas, Eknath Das. This is another letter. He was also one of the crew, one of the member of the crew, the Jew construction crew. His name is Vijeta Das. So he was working with Surabhi Prabhu in Bombay project. So he sent this to me yesterday to read it out. Eulogy from Vijeta Prabhu. Obeisances to you and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. On this auspicious occasion of you rejoining Srila Prabhupada, I just wanted to say thank you. You were there in Bombay the day Arya and I joined. And from my very first day in Krishna consciousness, you took me under your wing. I played such an insignificant role in your Bombay construction department. But you allowed me to stay for a few years before I drifted off to some other service. You always exemplified such intense focus and loyalty to Srila Prabhupada and his desire for you to design and build his temples. Your creativity knew no bounds. Your dedication to seeing the job done properly was exemplary. Your friendliness to everyone was extremely endearing to all. Your classes always boggled my mind. Could I ever understand Krishna consciousness like you do? The answer is no. Your kindness extended everywhere, like inviting some of the mistries to join us for the 4 o'clock ice cream party in the construction office. Your pakka dress and cleanliness inspired me, was a young hippie of the beach. Your ability to engage people and keep them attracted always amazed me. And of course, the glorious completion of Vrindavan and Bombay temples will stand for centuries as a reminder of what one dedicated soul with unflinching faith in his spiritual master can achieve. You have achieved the goal of life, attachment to the lotus feet of his divine grace. You have left us because Srila Prabhupada must have more temples for you to design somewhere. And I beg you to allow me your association in another lifetime, for I know that whatever you are doing for Srila Prabhupada will be an uproarious success, and I would like to be part of that again. By associating with devotees like you, one can get nearer to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you again, my dearest God brother. All glories to Sri Krishna Balaram. All glories to Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. All glories to our eternal beloved Srila Prabhupada. Still your aspiring servant, Vijeta Das. Eknath Prabhu also sent me a picture of the Jew construction screw. You won't be able to see. I'll show you later. He says, thank you for your association, your brilliance, and your services. The Jew construction crew. Some of the devotees I know. Most of them I don't know. Maybe others will know. Here is Surabhi Prabhu sitting. Next to, on his right is Murthy Das. Here is Eknath Prabhu, and next to him is Vijeta. When I came to Vrindavan in 1975, I saw Surabhi Prabhu and Gunaranabha Prabhu. They were always very busy. Whenever you see them, they are running here and there, sometimes on the roof, sometimes on the main gate, or with the mistri, or with the carpenter, here and there, with a pen and paper in his hand. My first meeting was a little bit funny. I was serving prasad in the devotee prasadam hall, which is our Govinda restaurant nowadays. That used to be the prasadam hall. And he was sitting, and some other devotees were sitting. In the breakfast, we served khichdi and oranges. So I was serving oranges. Prabhu was also sitting, and I gave him one orange. I was supposed to give one to everybody, to all the devotees. So I served him one orange, but he said, "Can I have one more?" I said, "No." He said, "I want one more, just one more." I said, "No, just one for everybody, all the devotees." He said, "Who told you?" I said, "Temple commander." He said, "Who is the temple commander?" I said, "Bhajendranandan Prabhu." "Bhakti Bhajendranandan Swami from Malaysia, Bhajendranandan Prabhu." He said, "Where is he?" I said, "He's sitting in the row, in the line." So he looked at him, and immediately Bhajendranandan Prabhu looked at me and made a gesture, "Give more, more, as many as he wants." So I gave him, I took three from the bucket and gave to him, offered him three, but he didn't take. He was true to his word. He said, "I want only one more." He took one one more. So later on, Bhajendranandan Prabhu told me that his name is Surabhi Prabhu, and he built this temple. First I thought he built this temple, maybe he carried bricks, or he carried it, built this temple. He later explained, no, he is the architect, and he designed all the temples, you know, everything, the arches, everything. He made the design and sketches, and drew all these things, and working all the with the mysteries and everything. So that's how I came to know about him. Just like King Ambarish. King Ambarish, Sabai Mana Krishna Padar Abindayur, Bacham Sibai Kunta Gunanu Barnane, Karau Harir Mandir Marjana Disu. King Ambarish used his hands to cleanse the Lord's temple. You can do many more things with your hands. You can cook for Krishna, you can write, you can offer arthiks, and you can also make beautiful designs and sketches and drawings to build beautiful temples for Krishna. And Surabhi Prabhu used his hands, his brain, his intelligence, his whole personality to perfection for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. And Krishna Balaram wanted such a temple to be built by him. He inspired him, and with his inspiration, spontaneously, all these designs and all these beautiful paintings he made, and he showed it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada approved immediately by saying, "Go ahead and do it. This is very beautiful," like that. Surabhi Prabhu may have gone from our vision, but he will live forever for many, many years by this temple. Whenever we visit this temple, Jew temple, when I join ISKCON, the Jew, the twin tower of Jew guest house, where only first floor was built, only first floor was under construction. So the twin tower of Bombay temple and the Radharasbihari temple, this temple, Samadhi and the guest house, everything. There's so many other things as you have heard from Dinabandhu Prabhu and Devashakti Mataji and all these great God brothers and God sisters. It's an amazing thing he has done for all the devotees, for the next generation, and for many, many years to come. This will stand as a sign of his dedication, of his love to Srila Prabhupada. They used to call me Gunarnaba and Surabhi Prabhu. They were very close friends, as you have heard. They were working together. I was also there in Bombay and also here. And they used to call me, "Hey, come here. Hey, you baby faced. You baby faced, come here. Go get this. Go get that." I said, "I'm not baby-faced, I'm 16 years old." He said, "No, you're baby-faced, go get this." So they are very friendly and very affectionate. They are like my older brothers, both of them. They loved me so much. I had their good association. And Surabhi Prabhu, we can never repay the debts we owe to him. We are sitting in this temple today by his hard labor he built. And on behalf of Eknath Prabhu, on behalf of Vijeta Prabhu, and on behalf of Pundrik Prabhu and myself, we thank Surabhi Prabhu for doing this wonderful service. So much he has done. There is no doubt, where has he gone? There is no doubt Srila Prabhupada has, as Vijeta Prabhu says, must have more temples to design. Therefore Srila Prabhupada called him back. So with that I conclude. Surabhi Prabhu ki jai.
So we'd like to thank Bhumipati for some very intimate memories of Surabhi Prabhu, and also very nice point that although Surabhi has left us, he will live for generations in these temples. So next I'd like to ask Manjari Devi Dasi to make her offering at the lotus feet of Surabhi Prabhu.
Om Gyanatimiran Dasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I first came to Vrindavan in 1974, and even though the temple was supposed to be completed just a few months down the road, it was really far from completion. At that time, it was like a big pit still, and with the girders sticking up. And I saw Surabhi Prabhu, Kishori, especially I remember those two, Gurudas, Jamuna. There's a Hindi word, Banaya, to make. And usually they say when somebody like Surabhi has made this temple, they don't use the word Banaya. They would say Banvaya. It's made like he supervised the making of it. But it's not like that at all, actually. When you saw them in action, they were doing everything. They were participating in every amount, in every part of the work. So really, Sarab, he made this temple on Prabhupada's orders. And but there's another aspect that I wanted to talk about, because while this was his maid service, Oh, there's one more thing. When Kusha was talking about how he was chastised by Prabhupada so much and he relished it, you know, Prabhupada would say that the word sadhu means knife. And I always wondered about this because, you know, sadhu doesn't mean knife. But it wasn't until later that I found out two things. One thing is that the word sadhu actually does mean something which is sharp and it goes straight to the goal. Sadhya is the goal, sadhu goes straight to the goal. But what Prabhupada was talking about is in relation to something that his Guru Maharaj would say, that the sadhu wields the knife of chastisement, to cut away the anartas of the disciple. And he and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said that if a sadhu flatters you, you should think, oh, he's your enemy. But if he chastises you, he is your greatest friend. And it was Surab's great good fortune that he could see that Prabhupada was chastising him and accepted it and embraced that. It shows that he did not have komal shraddha. He didn't have soft faith. He had guru nishtha to be able to accept that. So, but there's this other problem. You know, Surab had many sides, and there's one aspect that to his understanding of Prabhupada's teachings that I personally experienced. And I spoke to him about this just a few days ago when he first came. I mentioned that I had seen him here in Vrindavan maybe a couple years ago after a very long time. The time before that I had seen him was about 30-something years ago in California. We were in Mendocino. And we had a gurukul there in Northern California. And he was a sannyasi at the time. And he had come up to the gurukul and he had spoken. And I was very much impressed by his words, and I remembered what he said. And he had that, when I spoke to him, he didn't really remember going to that place. He was there for 2 days, and he said that he had been to so many places, but when I told him what he had said, he remembered immediately. So it was this, that... And he was speaking about Gurukul, and he was speaking about boys. Even though we had both boys and girls in our Gurukul, he was specifically speaking about boys. And he said that Gurukul is for the children until they are 10 or 12 years old, bus. He said, after that, they need specific training. They should be trained for a trade or career at that time. He said it's very important for boys. He said that when a boy is young, even a little boy, he's always thinking in his mind, what am I going to do when I grow up? What is my career going to be? And so they have to be trained. And, you know, I heard this at the time, and my son was, I think, 5 years old. And it was interesting, but I didn't really put that much importance into it until I saw my son grow up, and I saw his friends, and I observed the other kids in the gurukul, and it's true. From the very time the boy is small, as he grows up, he's always thinking, what am I going to do? Because they understand that they have this responsibility. And I was telling this to Sarab, that he had, and he said, yes, I really felt this way. I had experience of it. And this is, he was, Sarab was so mature and so practical and clear thinking, very clear thinking. And he said that actually when we went to Bombay, so he and Kishori and the children went to Bombay after Vrindavan. And so we were, I told Prabhupada, well, what am I going to do that there's no Gurukula here? And Prabhupada said to him, he said, well, not every child can go to Gurukula. He said, there's a school, and he mentioned the name of the school that was the local school nearby. He said, the children can go there. And so he said how his children had gone and they'd gotten little uniforms, and they even still to this day remember. And he said that Prabhupada told him that when the family is good, meaning the family is strong devotees, that the children don't need to go to Gurukul. That this will be enough to be for them, because the whole purpose of Gurukul is what? To raise the children as devotees of the Lord. That is the purpose of Gurukul. It's not to get into university, it's not to get, you know, it's to that if the children grow up to be devotees, then Gurukul is successful. If they don't, it's not successful. So this is, anyway, so Sarab was telling me this, and I've really appreciated it. And then we were also speaking of Atreya Rishi. He very much liked Atreya Rishi as my godbrother. And he appreciated, he said, oh, Sarab was telling me that he lived in Iran, Atreya Rishi's Iranian. He lived in Iran before he was a devotee. And so he appreciated, he liked it very much. And so he felt like he understood Atreya Rishi's mind and his mood. And, you know, I can see that because he was practical and mature, and he was a visionary, first of all, he was visionary. And he was able to see these qualities in other people. And I think this is because Sarab was personally trained by the most mature, most practical, and most visionary personality, our Srila Prabhupada. And he was trained by Srila Prabhupada very carefully. Prabhupada could recognize the qualities of a devotee and engage them according to their qualities. He wrote this one letter to Navayovana, that you engage your propensities in Krishna's service and your propensities will be tested to perfection. I love that. Tested to perfection. And so anyway, Srila Prabhupada was the one who trained him. And not only that, he trained him in the most difficult training ground there is, Sri Vrindavan Dham. And we can see that whatever training he received, he imbibed it. And we can see the success of that in his leaving this world here in Vrindavan. So, thank you very much. Vancha kopa trubhyasra kripa sunyabhya bhaja patitanam pavanibhya vaishnavya.
Sarvi Prabhu ki! So we'd like to thank Manjari Mataji for enlightening us and some other, giving us some insights into another level of Sarvi, his deep insights into Gurukul also, not out of his field, but he was so intelligent, he could see many different facets of life. So, is there anyone else who would like to make an offering? Somebody I'm not seeing? Otherwise, we have the interview. I wish I would have had time before to go through the interview and pull out parts. We'll just read a little bit of Sarvi's own words, and we'll understand this thing about Zorro. I decided to go back to India, where I had made a trip with Kishori in the mid-60s. She preferred to stay in the temple with the child. I thought, I'm going to maybe make a film or something. I had a little 5mm, 8mm camera, and I had a small Philips recorder with tapes, if anybody remembers those. So in February 1972, I brought a one-way ticket to India and landed in Bombay. Then I thought, what am I going to film here? Let's go with temples, because I was a little bit familiar with that. I had been in India before for a year and a half traveling. I went to see all the different temples, and there was nothing interesting. I was a little bit lost what to do, and it wasn't really that attractive a city or what I expected. Then I thought, there must be a Radha Krishna temple here. I asked people, do you have any Radha Krishna temple? I had seen the Ganesh temple, the Hanuman temple, the Shiva temples, but I had never seen a Krishna temple. Finally, someone had told me, yeah, there's a Krishna temple. And I went to Nariman Point. There was a little temple somewhere, but it didn't look like a temple to me. So I said, is there any temple here where foreigners also go? He said, oh, Akash Ganga, Akash Ganga, Akash Ganga. They all pointed out some tall buildings further down the road. I was out of there with my little camera and trying to do a documentary on the Indian culture, record stuff and talk to people. I said, okay, I'll just go there. So I went up to the lift. So I went up in the lift, and it was quite unusual for me to go to a temple in a lift. There was one Mataji there, Madri, who was married to Tamal Krishna. She said, sit in the temple room. There are beautiful deities. She didn't say much. She was just doing her things. I was going to go, and she said, just wait. The devotees are coming. Then suddenly there was a noise in the hall with drums and kartals, and everybody was happy and saying, Haribo! Haribo! And 20 or 30 devotees came in. Shyam Sundar came up to me and he said, we're all leaving here now. This is our last day. We just got this land in Juhu, and we're having a pandal there. And Prabhupada is speaking for 1 week. If you would like to come, you're welcome. They got 5 taxis, and they were packing up everything. We took those taxis to Juhu, and we arrived there an hour later. I paid for all the taxis, and everybody went in, and then straight into the pandal. Prabhupada was sitting there, and there was immediately kirtan. It was packed with local people. I thought, that's quite nice. Shyam Sundar came over to me and said, do you have by chance a tape recorder or something? Nobody has a tape recorder here. I said, yes, I have a tape recorder. I've got a camera too. He said, no, we don't need a camera, just the tape recorder. Prabhupada is sitting there. You go behind, sit on the floor, put your microphone on the stand and record it. When you change the tape, don't make any noise. Just record it. So I was sitting there on the stage, and Prabhupada sort of looked to the left behind. Who is this sitting there? I had long hair. There were a few thousand people sitting there in the audience, and he gave a lecture. So this was the beginning of me stopping to think. I was in a situation totally out of my control. My whole idea of doing a documentary on Indian culture was just gone. I was sitting there suddenly, and it was a totally different world, and I just accepted it. I sat there, recorded it, the program was over, and everybody left. Then Dinana said, you can stay here tonight. You can sleep with us on the roof. And they got me a mosquito net. So I talked a little bit with him, and there were some other devotees there. It was around 10 or 11 o'clock. Then the morning at 3:30 or 4 o'clock, suddenly somebody pulls off the mosquito, this mosquito thing off my head, and Brahmananda was there. Mangalarti, get up. All the others were already up, but I was still sleeping. Get to the temple, there's Mangalarti. So I went to the temple, I had no beads for chanting. They said, just sit here and look at the deities. Then we have Guru Puja, and then we'll have this, and then we'll do that, and then we'll have prasadam. Then Brahmananda came back to me and said, before prasadam, here you take 1 rupee, go to the barber across the road and shave your head. I was already at the stage where I wasn't thinking anymore. I was just doing whatever they told me. So I went across to a little barber shop with the Indian Bollywood music playing. The barber said, yeah, you want to have a Hare Krishna cut, right? I said, yeah, I think that's what it's got to be. So I came out of the barber shop and there was prasadam. Then Brahmananda Shaman Sundar came and said, when you're finished, come with us because Prabhupada wants to see you. He was staying in a little apartment with his South Indian family, and Shyam Sundar was the secretary at the time. I went inside the room and Prabhupada said, "Oh, now you look very nice." He said, "So what is the use of decorating dead bodies?" I said, "It's no use." He said, "Exactly. That's why Krishna has sent you here. You have to design these temples." I think Shyam Sundar knew that I was the guy from Amsterdam who helped with building the temple. Like when they found out that Garnava had done some welding and he had construction experience, that's how he ended up in Vrindavan. Whoever had some experience in the past, they take them and send them to India. But I think it was because I was there at a very strange time. Suddenly I was there out of the blue and Prabhupada was there. Prabhupada said, "Krishna has sent you to design the temple for Bombay. Tonight we have a fire sacrifice ceremony. Do you know what it is?" "Not really," he said. "We give an initiation. So you will be initiated tonight." Prabhupada knew who he was. Huh? Then he showed me some pictures and said, "This is the temple I like. I like this kind of design." There were pictures from the Govindaji temple in Jaipur. He liked those kind of arches, and that's why you see in Bombay the same arches. Prabhupada took the temple that was the most popular in the area, because in Vrindavan there weren't very popular temples. In Jaipur, tourists go there and everybody goes to the Govindaji temple. Then he said, "Shyam Sundar, give him some paper and pencil." They gave me some paper and a pencil and they gave me a table and said, "Please start." So I was sitting in a room next to Prabhupada and started drawing. Initiation ceremony was in the pandal. I was sitting next to Jagat Purush, who got Brahman initiation. From the moment at the pandal, sitting and recording, then sitting in the room, and then having to design temples, and then getting initiated, I thought, "Do I have anything to say in this?" It was just happening, one thing after another. After the ceremony is over, I was confused because I thought, "You got names." I asked Shyam Sundar, "Is there a name for me?" He said, "Oh yeah." He went over to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada said something that sounded like Zorro. So I had to live with Zorro for a couple of days until I dared to ask Shyam Sundar, "How do you write Zorro?" Then he went back and Prabhupada, because he didn't know. He went back to Prabhupada because he didn't know. "How do you spell his name?" S-A-R-A-B-H-A Das. Then I asked, "What is Sarabdas?" Sarabdas. Somebody told me, "He's a very famous Parsi poet." I never really knew what it is, Sarabdas. And I lived with that name for a long time. I didn't ask Prabhupada because he gave the name, so why question it? There must be a reason. So, shall I go on? I spent about 3 days in Prabhupada's room doing these drawings. Prabhupada would come over now and then and he would look and say, "Nice, that's good." He would just check what I was doing. So I made the front facade and he said, "This is very nice. This is what we're going to do here in Bombay." Then later on he said, "Shyam Sundar, give these other pictures." There was a picture that was sent from L.A. of a square skyscraper and devotees had put Hare Krishna on it. I still have that picture. And Prabhupada himself drew some notes on there. Shyam Sundar said, "Prabhupada wants a skyscraper in Bombay. He wants a temple with a skyscraper." So then I think, how do you put that together? After 3 days, the pandal festival was over and Prabhupada left. They had built a hut and everybody lived in there. And I continued drawing. Basically, I had the concept of two towers because the airport was restricting the height. So I said, "Then instead of one, we'll put two next to each other. You cut it in half and put one next to the other. That's why there are two towers." The skyscraper was a guest house or a hotel, and I made a lobby. Then also there had to be a restaurant, and there had to be a theater for performances. All these things he wanted there. I worked for about 2 months, and I met some architects. So basically the concept of Bombay was done. Then the whole project fell to pieces. There was dispute about the land. Then there was a problem with the son of Prabhupada. Giriraj had to go to court. He had to do all sorts of things. So I was stalled. We couldn't go any further. We couldn't get into any of the buildings. So devotees were living on the roof. People got sick and the temple was moved into a hut. That's when Maitalili was the head pujari in the hut, where we had snakes crawling around. I kept doing what I had to do, and it was quite a lot of work. Then in May 73, Prabhupada wrote a letter saying that I had to go to Vrindavan immediately. I was on the train in no time. I arrived in Vrindavan and went to the Radha Damodar temple. There was another person sitting there who became Chaitanya Guru. He was also Jasavan. He was from a Sikh family and was a Sardarji previously, Siddharji. He told me he was from Punjab, and he told me to come to this temple, and then we'd meet there and they would give us some service. I really wasn't sure what I had to do in Vrindavan. I knew it was for a temple, but the Radha Damodar place to me was very depressing in a way, because there was nobody there. Gurudas and Jamuna were not in, and they wouldn't come back until the next day or late in the evening. We were just sitting there, and he said, "It's very hot, so why don't we go to the Jamuna? It's not far away. We'll walk to the Jamuna and take a dip." So we went there, and there was quite a few people going in the water. There was a family with three or four women and sons and husbands, and they were all bathing in the Jamuna. It was nice and cool. We were taking bath in the Jamuna. Then apparently one of the people that were bathing there got caught up by the stream. It's a very strong current in the Jamuna. You have solid ground, then suddenly at one point it goes down a meter. So these people didn't know how to swim, and someone went down. Suddenly these ladies were screaming, and they started to go back on the shore. We started diving in the water trying to catch the person, but we couldn't. I went about 10 times down under, but the current was enormous. The turtles bump into you, and you can't see anything because the water is very murky. Then I came up and told the ladies, "He's gone." It was a man my age, the husband of one of the ladies there. He drowned right in front of us. I thought, well, it's a Jamuna, so it should be all right. But it's difficult. As I was diving, I was thinking, should I save this person or let him go? Of course I tried, but I couldn't. So that was my first visit to Vrindavan. We went back to the temple. By that time it was evening. Then later Jamuna and Gurudas came in. Next day Gurudas took me to Raman Reddy. That's when I met Gurunanava for the first time. Again, Survey. When I came, there was nothing going on, and that's apparently why I was sent. They had a basic plan from an architect in Delhi that was very simple. Gurudas showed me the drawings. This is the temple they're going to build. Their locations were already basically placed, and they had put in foundations in some part. The part where the courtyard is already done, that place with the pillars, that part where the courtyard was already done, the place with the pillars. I started drawing again because we had a foundation. There was an engineering plan. That was the layout, and I couldn't change it. Indian construction was quite new to me, but by looking at the land sloping down from the entrance, I had enough knowledge to see that it's not good. It was quite low, but they did not raise it. And with any rain, it would flood. So the first thing I did was raise it by 2 feet. Like Gurunanava said, the problem was cement, because in India at that time, cement was on quota. You could not just buy cement in the open market. If you did that, there was a risk that it might not be good quality. We had to get an allowance from the government, and we were not a priority project. We were there somewhere in Vrindavan, so there was always some delay. We had very nice meetings with Gurudas, because he was a very optimistic person, and he made it really special that being in Vrindavan is a very special place. We started reading a lot. We had a lot of discussions. We had some learning of slokas and practicing slokas. Gurunanava and I shared the same room. Straight away when I came, I looked at the plans, and there was nothing really there. Then Prabhupada wanted to see what the temple was going to look like. So like in Bombay, I just started drawing. I had this big piece of paper, and I made the drawing of the front facade, which is the style of the arch. That was my main concern. I got to have something there that is different. In the beginning, we did a lot of driving around to find ideas for temples. We also made lots of trips to Mathura to try to get cement. We also had to get bricks. We had to get good quality sand, because it's very tricky with the sand. All these were available. All of these are available, but you just had to pay. Bricks you always get, always, and sand. Cement was quota. We had to find someone who would be ready to deliver us. Anyway, it goes on and on for many pages here. Is there anybody else who would like to say something about Surabhi? Mother Parvati is not here. Karunaparna. Okay, so we'll end our Smriti Sabha memorial service here at this point. And then what time is feast? 3:30. So at 3 o'clock there'll be a feast for everyone in the Krishna Hall. Balaram Hall. The whole feast. Okay, Prabhupada disciples and temple devotees in Krishna Hall, everybody in Balaram Hall, everyone else in the Krishna Hall. So at 3 o'clock there'll be a feast. Prabhupada and sannyasis and senior devotees in the Balaram Hall, and resident devotees in the Balaram Hall, and all other visitors in the Krishna Hall. Hare Krishna. Jai! Krishna Balaram Mandir Ki! Radha Ras Bihari Mandir Ki! Jai! Srila Prabhupada Samadhi Mandir Ki! Srila Prabhupada Puspa Samadhi Mandir Ki! Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki! Jai!
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare.